Rabbi Pinchas Breuer.
I think that we're all acquainted with the famous Maamar Chazal that lo nitna Toira elo le'oich le'hamon. Toira was given for those that ate the mon. In other words, for the Toira Midbo, they were oich le'hamon. Let's try and understand why only for the oich le'hamon, why is that a precondition for Kabbalas HaToira, that you have to be amongst the Oich Le'amon. What is that? What's the implication of Oich Le'amon in this regard? So, there are various ways of explaining it. I want to first explain it in this way, and there's probably others say similarly. Everyone has his few Marim Mekoyimus, as you understand. Everyone is obviously aware, and there's a lot of talk about it, and it's one of the Ikrei Yesoide Hadas. And that's what we call the Midas HaBitochen. That a person has to have Bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcho, V'hu Yechal Kelecho. Throw your burden, everything that you have, onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Feel secure with him, in the real way, and the Rebbeinu Shem will take care of you. He'll sustain you in the way that he needs to. This Midas HaBitochen is not only a mailer, to say that someone has it is doing a special act. It's a fundamental issue. Without that, there's a lack in the shleimus of you being a yid as it should be. Bitochen is terribly important. There's a Loshon Rabbein Yoin that says, HaBitochen hu ikar hayiro v'hu emuno. Rabbein Yoin in Brochus, Tamid Rabbein Yoin. That Bitochen is the Ikka of Yiro and Emuno. Now let's try and understand these words. What does he mean by that? One can well understand that Bitochen is the Ikka of Emuno. With all the explanations given, what Emuno means, what Bitochen means. One way to explain it obviously is that Emuno is belief and Bitochen is to practice the belief. Not just to say, I believe there is a God in heaven, I believe that he created the world, but practice it, show it practically. That's what Bitochen is all about. Live that way. Feel content. Feel happy. Be secure. There's someone taking care of you. Kegomul ali imoy, as David HaMelech says. Like a child relying upon its mother. For life and for everything. For its survival. That's Bitochen. But what are you going to do with Yiro? Yiro is fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval Yiro Shomayim is from the Ikrim. Reishis Chochmo Yiras Hashem. But how does Bitochen blend with Yiro Shomayim? Bitochen, let's say, is a combination or the Dadargi you have to reach through Emunah, get to Bitochen. But Yiro Shomayim is another aspect, another thing a person has to reach to the Madrega of Yiro Shomayim. But it's an avoider bifnei atzmo, to be a Yori Shomayim. And Bitochen is negated to the Emunah of the person. So what does Rabbeinu Yoinu say that HaBitochen hu ikar yiro v'hu emunah? So let's try and understand that. I have another little problem. You know, the famous Maamar Chazal or the Meir Brochus that we say. 100 brochus every day. So where do we learn it from? What's the Mekoyah, the source for it? So the Chazal darshan it in a posik in Parshas Ekev. In Parshas HaYiro, for those who say it on a daily basis. Va'ato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elekecho Shoyel Me'imoch Kiim Le'yiro, and so on. On the word Mo Hashem Elekecho, the Chazal Darshan, Al Tikre Mo Elo Me'yo. Out of Mo, read it in a way that says Me'yo, and that's a source, a reference to the Indian of the Me'yo Brochus. All right, Chazal Darshan it that way. But the question is, where did this drosha come in? Into which parsha? The parsha of Yiro. Parsha is a Yiro. The Yiro is Hashem and Kecho. What have the Meir Brochus got to do with Yiro Shomayim? I would suggest that the Meir Brochus have to do with Emunah. Again, the same type of question I asked before. What do I mean by Emunah? Because what is the pshat in all the Brochus? I wish we'd say them properly. I'll tell you what, if we'd say the Brochus properly, we'd be Maminim. Much in a much higher standard than we actually are. Meir Brochus is Boruch Atu Hashem. For every food stuff you take, Jima, whatever it is, every shahakoil, whatever it is, every mashu, we make a brocha. And what do we actually say in the brocha, if we're mechavan a little bit? Boruch Atu Hashem. So the Chinuch explains in Parshas Ekev, it's Devorim Yiduim, that the word of Boruch does not mean we are blessing, giving a benediction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get invention. He doesn't need our brochas. No, Boruch is a recognition of the fact that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the source of all Baruch, of all blessing. Boruch Atu Hashem, you are the Boruch. All blessings and anything that comes good in this world, all comes from you, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and you are the source of all of it. We cannot benefit anything on this world without you giving it to us. So that surely strengthens the emunah of a person to believe that kol tzad v'shal, whatever he does in life, everything comes from the original source, the ilas kol ilas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is emunah. So I understand, meir brocha strengthens the emunah, it's mechazik the emunah of a person. How does Yiras Shamayim come into this? Yiras Shamayim is abzunder avoide. This is more shaykh to emunah than meir brocha, not to the union of yiro, the chur is ashayle. It's a similar type of question I asked before on the Tamid de Rabbeinu Yoinah. The remission is that there's a pshat in that. What does it mean when a person says yes, Yiras Shamayim? It's not an easy thing. Today, we give a lot of titles. You know, titles are easily given. A lot of Geonim, new ones today. We have a lot of things going on today. And the word Yiras Shamayim is also easily said on many people. Adonai Mashgiach used to say, Zeichet Tzadik Livroch Ebchask Levenstein, Chusei Yogin Oleinu, used to say, Alevai, he has in his way of saying it, that Alevai do mitzukumen tza brekele yira. He used to say a brekele, a crumb of Yiras Shamayim. He was full of it. But he understood that Yiras Shamayim is a very great madrega. The real targ of Yiras Shamayim all depends on what the Ramo says in the beginning of Erechayim. It's not an easy Ramo, and surely not to keep up to the standard he requires. The Meure Nevuchim that he brings at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Erechayim. Lo Yilam Weiss was ich mein, when the Ramo talks about Shivisi Hashem Leneg Disomit. A person has to put up Ribbono Shel Olam as if he's in front of him all the time. That Tomit is not an easy one. The Toiv Leiv Mishter Tomit at the end of Shulchan Aruch is a little bit easier. The Mishter Tomit people do reach that Madrege. Aber der Tomit von Umfang Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Leneg Disomit, which is a cloud godel be malis a tzadikim, that a person should have this awareness. It's not easy to talk about it. You have to be on a madrege. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu oimet olo v'roye b'maisov. The more a person understands this, and the more he acts and lives accordingly, according to this belief, this is what Yiras Shamayim is all about. And it's very noticeable the way a person davens, in general behavior of a person, whether it's at home or whether it's somewhere in the shul, whether it's at home or whether it's on holidays, on vacation. There you see how much a person lives up with this standard of Shivisi Hashem Leneg Disomit. There's a lot to talk about that one. But that's what Yiras Shamayim is really about. So Yiras Shamayim, to acquire it, even in a minor degree, a grade of Yiras Shamayim, something, is normally where the person gets Yira, when he sees something outstanding, something overwhelming, something that goes on in the Bria, which shakes him. Like the Gemara says on Re'emim, Ramim, you know, thunder and lightning, is Kedei Lefasheit Akmumi Yishevelev, the crookedness of one's heart. You straighten it out when you see the koyach and the gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all know what the tsunami was about. And all these hurricanes that you see, where total cities are destroyed, totally destroyed. That gives a person a feeling there's someone, a gruis about koyach, about gevura. And it makes you feel so minuscule, so small. Klap of the gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that brings yira into a person. Obviously. But I want to ask you, how long did that year last? We read the newspapers, those who are involved in that, and follow the media. We hear and we discuss it. what happened exactly, how many people were killed, and that's it. I give it mostly a week or two before everything dies down and it's totally forgotten. Is anybody talking about the tsunami today? Or any type of destructive acts in the Brier? Who talks about it? So obviously that cannot mean what Yerushalayim is about. If Yerushalayim would be based on that, it would be a very faltering Yerushalayim. It doesn't stay on. It's just momentary. So what then is Yerushalayim all about if it's not that? But there's a different way to approach Yerushalayim. I want to give a little example. I might have said it once, but I've said it quite a few times. I think I saw this marshal as well. If somebody has an interview for a job, he hasn't had panosa for a long time, and he's going around idle, and you can imagine what it means, and the feelings of depression and all that, and suddenly somebody turns up, he gets a phone call, you have an interview with a certain director of a certain firm, the big boss, as we say, the one who had that thick cigar in his mouth, and you have to meet him and present yourself to see if you're fit for the job. And there are certain requirements, of course, conditions, that you should be able to get this important job. Now he goes for this interview after not having panos for quite a few months, and in certain ways relying. Well, should help him out now. He found there was a certain loophole. So he stands in front of that director. I want to ask you one thing. You can be sure that he stands in fear. Not in fear because he's frightened he might hit him or something, or he might kill him, that type of fear, for Amelech, Chvaisroth. No, he wants to get this job. And he knows the best way that he behaves, and the nicest way he presents himself, he has greater chances to get this job. So he's going to stand all the time in fear of not doing anything wrong, talking what he should say exactly, counting his words, behaving beautifully, standing erect, and trying to make the best of impression because he knows his parnosa is dependent on what's going on here. That's the way people look at things. If we would have that feeling towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand that everything that we have, not only parnosa, health, our mere existence, nachas, family, anything, all the aspects of life are all dependent, and we put it into our firm belief that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously this will create a matzias of fear not to do anything wrong. The Baruch Hashem, I know if you just take your hands back for a second, I'm finished. I do not exist anymore. My total existence is dependent on you. So obviously a person would have great fear not to budge anything with Derech HaTorah from the way the Baruch Hashem really wants us to be. Because we know this is it. If I have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have everything, and if not, I have nothing. This brings an actual fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This type of Shivisi Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam, not just thinking when Hashem is standing here or not in front of us, as the Metzias is, not that. But to know I'm dependent on Him all the time. And this is a fear which goes on constantly, by day and by night, right through the year and right through your life. It's not just a momentary thing, it's an exciting event or something. It's a metzias. The fact that we're standing here on this world, created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our existence, only our continuity, all depends on the Yad Hashem. Oy vavoy, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would for a second just take back, retract his hand from keeping us alive. You know, we see people who turn suddenly unwell. Somebody gets a stroke, Rachmon and Islam, and he's not able to move the same limbs, which he thought at the beginning he was free to do whatever he wanted. So the Ribbono Shel Olam shows it's not true. From one moment to the other, life can change. So we are dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pump life into us. All the time we're depending on him. So that gives a person that feeling of fear. The Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to go in your ways, that you should be behind me. Don't retract your hand at any moment. I need your support all the time. This brings Yerushalayim in a great, great way. And I think, besides what I'm saying now, Baruch Hashem, I was shown that the Beis Halevi, in a certain way, says mamish these words. In a certain way, he explains, it's negir to another Chazal as well, at the beginning of Bereishis. You look up the Beis Halevi, he has a lot to say on Shabbos, the whole idea of Shabbos, the concept, and if I'm not mistaken, this thought comes up there. And I think with that we can forever the kasha on the Rabbeinu Yoina we asked, and also the second question, what has Meir Broches got to do with Yira Shomayim? And the answer is yes. Habitochin hu ikara yira ve'amuna, zog the Rabbeinu Yoina. You know why? Because this is a real yira. If a person has bitochin means I throw my whole weight, Hashlech al Hashem Yofcha, onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm relying totally on Him. And I understand fully that without His support, I'm nothing. I wouldn't be able to move an inch without the support of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything depends on Him. This brings the greatest fear a person can have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaBitochin is an ikka of Yira, Munef HaStatman, but it's an ikka of Yira. This is Yira Shomayim. When you have the real bitochin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that means you're relying totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is dependent on Him. That's how you get Yiras Shomayim. And the same is with brachos. If a person understands that every morsel of food that's put on the table, there's no kachap geloif azor, you chap here and you chap there, another piece of chocolate, another bit of cereal, when all this gets out of the mail automatically, the Rebbeinu Shloim is giving it to you. We'd also eat in a different way as well. We soon discuss that one. But if we be aware of the present, not only the present of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aware that He's the source of all blessing, everything that's put on the table is only because He put it. He gave me the opportunity to be able, He gave me the money to buy the food. And He gave me also the possibility to be able to eat. They say the Brocha v'yayke v'vide v'nosan lechem lechoin. Well, what then is lechem for? What then is a bag is for? But you know, the Forshim explain, and if you have lechem, you think you can always eat it? There are certain people who can afford lechem, but their health situation does not permit them to be able to eat a piece of bread. So lechem lechoin is a very great brocha in our Shomayim. And if we'd understand that Rebbeinu Shloim is the source of all that we have, that would obviously bring Yiras Shomayim, as we said before. So therefore, Dafke the Meir Broch is coming to the parsha of Yiras Shomayim. This is what Bitochen is all about. And interesting is that I have a raya, two places, and you might get it yourself as well, in Davening, there are two places where I see clearly that Bitochen is a precondition for Torah as well. Beside the Madrega Bitochen, as it is, it's a precondition to be Zoyche to Teure. Well, the first time you see it in the Broch of Avor Avor Avor, so whichever way you say, whichever Nusach, in that Broch, we say, Ovinu Malkeinu, Bavur Avriseinu Shebot Chuvecho, Vatelam Dem Chukechayim. You only taught them Chukechayim after they've shown the Mitzvah HaBitochen. Botchu is Vatelam Dem Chukechayim. Then also in Brich Shmei de Mori Olmo, Tzoras HaSefer Teure, there we say, Be Ano Rochitz. Rochitz is a reference to Bitochen. I'm Betech in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then I demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tfilah, Yeravu Kodomach, the Siftach Liboi Be'eraiso. If I have the Midas HaBitochen, I'm Betech in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be Ano Rochitz. Now I put in my request, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Siftach, open up my heart to Teure. It's a precondition for Torah. And obviously, that's what the Chazal mean, at least one interpretation. Or the Chazal say, Lo nitno Torah, elo le'oich le'amon, as we started off with, meaning that the Torah was given for those people who were beteach be'akodesh bochu. Ki yodua, the Mephoshim explained, the Rabbi Bechai amongst them, that the reason why Akodesh bochu gave the mon in that way, because he wanted us to be connected to him, on a daily basis. He didn't get abundant food once for a long time. He didn't stock up food at the beginning for the next 40 years. Every day we had to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also to implant into them, Dr. Rabbi Mechaya, the Midas HaBitochen. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You only have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending down man from heaven. So we made it also digress the Midas HaBitochen. That I know I'm reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then they had no other source to maintain themselves, only what came down from heaven, from the other Hashem. So the Midas HaBitochen was implanted in them for 40 years. Was Kedai HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep them that long in the Midbar, just in order to make them live with Bitochen. And these Oich Le'amon were those that were Zoyche to Torah, because they had this Midas HaBitochen that's required for Torah. Now I want to explain the Mamre Chazal in a different way. I think in our generation, obviously, everybody knows it. Everyone knows there's a lot of nisyonos. Unusual nisyonos, which none of the generations preceding us had these nisyonos as we have today. On the other hand, I'm not going to go into stories, what's going on in the world today. It's a horror, it doesn't rest. But on the other hand, we see an abundance of Torah today. Everybody's aware of it. It's never been like this. People who lived in the pre-war days, I would say even more, the Kvoida Torah is much more. If you would know that before the war, with all the Gedoilim that lived at that time, the Kvoida Torah was rock bottom. A yeshiva bocher was considered a butler. There was another lot used to say, Benkelkretscher. Ever heard this expression? It reminds me of Yankele Galinsky had a good joke to say. Reb Yankele, the Chayin Tzadik Livrocha, what a sweet Jew he was. Reb Yankele used to say that he once said, that it didn't have to happen, but that was part of his stories. He said he was sitting on a train on the way to Haifa, and opposite him was sitting a bank director. The bank director was sitting on the other side of the table, and he took out his svarim, Mishnayis, a Tehillim, a Musa, said, whatever you had to do. And the bank director was looking at him, and he said, oy vai, you old Benkel Kvetschers. You know, he remembered from home this type of title he used to give for Yeshiva Bochrim, a Benkel Kvetscher. So Rav Yankele said to him, yeah, Adoni, a bank director, a Tatsodek, we are Benkel Kvetschers. But there's a big difference from our kvetching our bank, and if you kvetch your bank director, a lot of people are going to fall into loss of money. When we kvetch the bank, nobody loses from that. From your kvetching your bank, this is going to be teure. But the kvoida teure was rock bottom. Everything was going on a different line. Studying, getting a doctor. I know my father lived in Vienna before the war. This is going to be a great kvoida teure. With all due respect, mit der Chosche, mit Kehille, was er dort gewesen, they had to work very hard, the Jugendgruppe, I know your daddy Hashi knows about that, that they had to always try to influence boys. The Shevet Alevi Ravosen came out from Vienna is a nest, betoich nest, you hear what I'm saying? Because they weren't opted to bring up children to wearing gedoyle teure. It wasn't online. Yeah, from, that's nice. Aber kreuter teure, wenn er ganz sicher ist, it was even exceptional that someone should take himself to learning. And a girl should marry someone, a ben teure, that was the last thing she would think of. Last on the line is gewesen a ben teure. Le David, that was the case. Heint Boch Hashem, kreuter teure is hoich. Any girl, even more the modern type of girl, would have to want to, I know for a lot of cases, in the States as well, even though sie nicht otto tot, as a heimische mesot, oh, but she wants to have a ben teure. At least the first few years, surely. It's a neue kvoida teure. Limuda teure had never been, well, with all the amenities we have today, you know, with all ways to be able to learn. How many people learn daf yomi today? How many shiurim are given? People going around with earphones. This never used to be a moiridige kvoida teure. So shall we say the Baldover is on the losing side of his battle? What the Yitzhar is never giving up, as if it's quite that teure in the world. I want to tell you an amnesty word in this. Amnesty amita. Yeah. Baruch Hashem, we have that. We have yeshivas, we have bisyankes, we have a lot of nice institutions, chassidische chatzeres, and all the zeitmanes, a lot of teure in the world. Aber der Baldover weiß eine Sache, he knows one thing. Learn, I don't mind, you should learn a lot of teure. But he tries to affect us in a different way. That all the preconditions needed, that we should be zoiche to teure, that the limud at teure should not be stama limud chitzoini min asofa velachutz. Stama, I'm learning teure like any other chochme, because teure is beautiful. You know, to learn the sugyas hashas, the poskim, and the divrei hagada all over. It's mamish atanuk. It's a pleasure for everybody. In his dargah, on his madriga. But he wants to try to affect and put his influence into the preconditions needed for Torah, that the Torah should not be learned in the way that it should be. And we should not be zoiche to the Kedushas HaTorah in the right way. that the Torah should be absorbed into our system. That's what he's working on today. So obviously we have to know, what are these preconditions? What is needed, are they? Now listen, you know, we have an abundance of a lot of things today. What I'm saying now is mamish amis, because everybody knows it, just have to, somebody has to say it. Today, Baruch Hashem, there's an abundance, I'll tell you a funny thing, of achile ushtia. Never was. You know, in the olden days, there was so much poverty in the Klal Yisrael. They almost starved. There was nothing to eat. A lot of poverty. Ein Baruch Hashem, any person, even somebody not on a high level, achile ushtia, Baruch Hashem, there's an abundance. You go into a supermarket, I'm talking even the Frum supermarket, you have hundreds of minim. You have to pick out. I don't know why you need bechir on everything. I know it's bechir on Torah mitzvahs, but it is bechir on food as well. You get 10, 50. I can't go into a store. I remember the olden days, you go into Breuen Spitzer, you picked up your bit of jam and butter, and that was it. There was no choice. You got it. Today, you have tens and tens of meaning, all types and different tastes, and ver retoch. All the madanim and etalu, a ribu yachilu ushtia. Now one could say, it's very nice, I learn my daf hayomi. Go to daven with a minyan. I bring up my children to nice potechinach. I'll do what a Jew is supposed to do. So what if I eat a lot and drink a lot and indulge in it? I'm bringing a very minor moshel of achil ushtia. It goes much further than that. The Dode Ramban and the Hantige Parsha, and it's things which have to be learned and discussed and to think about it a little bit, because otherwise we can have all our life and not reaching the level we're supposed to be reaching. The Rebbein Shalom requires of us something else. I didn't pick you out, the Boch Abonim Mikol Amim, that you should get this nice Chochmas HaTorah, and you should be able to say a nice vote, and all that. I want you to learn Torah, that Torah should form you. Torah should change you into a Torah personality. And you should do everything. All your Aliches Oyrim should be Alochistik, Torahdik. In your general behavior, and even the same things that we do, what the goyim also do, is a vechukaseim loyse leichu doktes vasemus. Avada, to do what they do, the meise eretz mitzrayim, as that in last week's parsha, or the kemeise eretz kenan, that's totally not permissible. Chas v'sholem. But even a vechukaseim, things that you are allowed to do, but not to do it in a goyisha way. Avada. Goyim have no moral standards with all their darshonim and their preachers, because those who preach themselves don't have moral standards. I said over a moshel, when did I say that? About the difference between our teachers and preachers and theirs. There used to be a Dr. Benjamin Spock, I mentioned yesterday, he wrote a book on cigarette smoking, the danger and the hazards, but he himself was a chain smoker. And he wrote a beautiful book about all the dangers of it. Das ist Chachmei Umes Oilam. The Chofetz Chaim wrote on Loshon Hara, but he kept up to the standard. He spoke a lot, and he never said one word of Loshon Hara. So you see the difference, Chaim. You can't even put it on the same scale. Torah changes a person. You become a Torah-digger person. Steto in Posik Hazoi. We all know there are a lot of things that a person has to do in life. We call it Divrei Rishus. Not actually involved in a mitzvah, but the Chovas I've always said there's no such thing as Divrei Rishus. It's a way that you do it which categorizes your acts, whether it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. Chaye Ishus, anything a person has in life which is permitted and it's necessary. How? How do you approach it? What are you doing with yourself? The Torah teaches us, Dr. Ramban, and that's what makes a person great. And if you look in Zohar HaKodesh, it's Ein L'Shayer, how important the Kaddish Atzmecho B'Mutaloch, what effect it has on the whole Metzias of a person. His Torah, his Yiras Shomayim, his connection to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, his Mokim in Olam Habo, all depends on that. Not only what you do mitzvah, you put on tefillin every day or not, or how you put on the tefillin. How do you act during the day? Those things which were given to you in a form of a reshus, are you sanctifying your way in a certain degree? Or are you doing it in the way that you learned from the Goyim, chas v'shol? Ribuy achilu ushtia is not a Yiddish minig. Goyim are fressers, pardon me saying it. Goyim, they know what means fressing. In the full sense of the word. for a Yid to be indulged in Achilus Tir and to make a ganze Geschäft out of it, and to be mechanech our children for all tastes and nachen, and to gain noch alle taivis, whatever I want I get. Very nice, you might not be doing an Aveire, aber teure wird bei dir nicht kennen reingehen. At kidei, that the Chazal say, at she tispalil, I'm just repeating what the Chazal say, but it's Emes, at she tispalil, that the Torah should go into you, the Torah error, you should see that the Madanim should not reach inside. You can't have Madanim and Torah at the same time. Indulge in Achilus Tir as a Moshel, or in all acts which are Oilam Hazadig, and make a whole Esik out of it, and at the same time you want to implant Torah into yourself, become a Torah digger person. That's not the way the Chazal saw it. So all our general behavior, that's what the Rebbeinu shows us. Because he knew that descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are fitting. A fitting nation who can be mekabel upon themselves the Torah, not only in the terms of when we learn or when we daven, we can live our lives Torah-dik. We are a nation that the Rebbeinu Shalom felt that we are capable, due to our yichus, and due to what's implanted in our genes, that we are able to live a Torah digger life. That the halichas oilam should be halochas digger halichas, wherever we go. That should govern our acts, as I say. Oichle hamon. I want to say a new title now. Beside what I said before about mitochen, lenit the Torah le oichle hamon has a different meaning. If you all know, oichle hamon, the mon was called in Tehillim, it's called Lechem Abirim. What do you mean Lechem Abirim? It's a Lechem which had a ruchnistic effect on the person. It didn't even have the after effects of food that a person has to dispose of his waste and all that. It was Nivla Bedomeyen. It was a ruchnistic machel. Mosin Shemalachi Ashoris Mishtamshin Boy. This type of Achilles deer, this is conducive for Torah. Oichle Amon. Essen Mon, that Mon has a taklis of an achile, which brings a ruchnistige effect. Although they had all the tastes, they had the taste in the Mon, as we state in Chazal, of a soft kotsof, it was a lechem abirim. That type of foodstuff could comply with all the Torah standards. Oichle Amon, fadim, this type of achile stier. But if a person gets involved stam in looking for all tavis oilam azeh, even in form, I'm not talking in moral standards, redich nicht. Now, fill achilu shtir, which become a hefkedigheim. And many people are mechanech their children as well, to go after all tastes that chaych. They're making bale taivis out of their children. And when they get a bit older, then it gets worse, and the taivis go over to other things. And it's a very shver of that, because we have a pisgam to say that a child in his younger age, and surely in his teenage years, the passion, everyone has a very high passion, but the intellect is very low. And if intellect is low, you can't combat against the Yetzer Hara. Passion is a natural feeling, so he follows his passion. But he has nothing with what to combat it, because he hasn't got the intellect and the Seichel HaTorah to be able to combat it. We shouldn't be mechanech our children in that way, not give in to everything, and let them follow all their desires, even in minor things. I'm not talking, because then later on it involves, it develops into other things as well. And then it surely, surely mekalkel the Kedushas HaTorah. So when we approach Torah, Chazal are trying to teach us, it's only for the Oichle Amon. Be careful what you do with yourself. Keep yourself on a standard. Preserve the standard that you should be roi to be mekabel the Torah. Otherwise, the Torah is just going to slide off you. You can learn a lot of Torah. But many times we see people learn that the Torah is not nivla bedomon, even though he has a kvius, and even though he is living, no, not bad, in a certain standard, and yet that is as nishkoine the Torah. Seems to be we haven't got the right preparation. We haven't prepared ourselves properly for the Torah, so the Torah slides off us. It's a schwere Sach, aber das ist der Metzies. I want to tell you a sweet word about being Zoyche to Torah. I might have said it once, but I don't think this is okay. I know a person in Yerushalayim who was very close to Hagoyen Rebbe Yashiv, the Goyse Rebbe Yashiv, very, very close. He gives up Sforim, he's a Loche, he's a Mamsha, he's a Yabimino. He told me he once asked Rebbe Yashiv, Zeche Tzadik Levroche, he said, I want to ask you something, he said. I'm learning tens of years. It's somebody who's a real Ben Torah gave out. Tzfori already. He knows a lot and he's a Eloch Yid. And when people come and ask me a question, I said, I don't know. I'm not able to answer every time. Sometimes even the topic I'm not into. I don't know the subject matter properly. And even if I do, I haven't got the clarity to be able to answer him immediately. I have to look up and you have to try and find a way. I can't give him a clear answer. He says, you Rebbe, in all other, you answer on the spot with clarity. What's the difference? I'm also learning. I don't think afraid to kasha. He wants to know. Torah he belil me dani tzorich. Rav Yashuv says this word. You want to be zoyche to Torah only if it's without hesach hadas. You're not allowed to remove your thoughts from Torah at any given moment. She asked the Rebbe, what does hesach hadas mean? What does one do to have hesach hadas from Torah? So he lifted up his eyelids. That's hesach hadas, looking away from Torah for even for any given moment. Sagemore, hasoyef einecho boi ve'einenu. You want to be zoyche to Torah, you're not supposed to be mesiach das from Torah. Your mind must be focused all the time, constantly on Torah. Look who said it. So to be zoyche to Torah, you have to be into it all the time. Your mind, your thoughts, lechtecho baderech. The Torah doesn't talk, just plain talk. B'shivtcho v'isecho. You know, even us today, even those who are involved in Torah, how much time we spend, pardon me saying, because I'm including myself in the peckles, I may say it, with bitter Torah, with vorim betelim, talking on the phone, on and on and on, and your mind is not focused on Torah thoughts. I just spoke to a bismedrish, achsidus oilem, I said, you want to know what a good bismedrish is? It's not time you come to daven, and daven shein, you have a nice baltfiller, very nice, beautiful, or a nice building. A nice mismatch is if the Balbatim, when they meet each other, even on the way, they talk a Torah topic, like they learned about a certain Gemara, a Sugi in the morning, so when they meet together, oi, das doch sehr gewesen, how can we answer it? And they think about Torah. This is Balbatim b'nei Torah. If your mind is focused on Torah, not that when you're sitting at the shir, or when you're learning the Gemara, your general mind, you're not mesiach das from Torah. Rabbi Yashiv was on his madrega, kol ha-toyri kula, but even in our small way, we have to be able to see that the Rebbeinu Shlom Tov Etzi were not mesiach das from Torah. This is the boch habonu mikol ha-amim that the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking for. So I want to go back to the point I mentioned before. The Baal Dover says like this, I don't care, learn Torah. I'll give you the opportunity, thank God we have that. If not for the Torah that we have today, and how it's scattered amongst the masses in such a way that never was. And the Kvoida Torah is very big. And Boch Hashem, the Kvoid Loimdia Torah is much bigger than it used to be in the pre-war days. What I'm saying over from live witnesses, it's much more the Kvoida Torah today. But the preconditions for Torah, the Tnoim, that Torah should be Nivla Bedomenu, has become much worse. There's a lot of Olam Hazeh going on, even in the frum world today. A lot of emphasis being put on Olam Hazeh. A lot of making an ikar out of it. And the Torah becomes a bitofeldig at the end. I'm making too much out of this Olam Hazeh. And that doesn't coincide well with Torah. Not the Madanim, not the novel b'shus ha-Torah-diga attitude, which very often comes from the Goyshe world that we live in. That's one of the big misyoinas. That's where he's actually fighting. I want to tell you a vort I said once. A little word that I had to say. Yankev Avinu fought with the Malach. A little word. And the Malach at the end, he couldn't win against Yankev in his combat. So he touched on his side. Noga bekaf yerech Yankev. What is the meaning of all that? That's Isov Gidanoshe. I wanted to say it in a certain way that it's teaching us that in the Achris Hayomim, the Zohar Kodesh says, he was negein tomchin der reise. I don't know, Boch Hashem today, there's great tomchin der reise. Never used to be. So many tomchin der reise. Where would our yeshivas be today? Almost, if not for these tomchin der reise. Boch Hashem, we have that today. You know what's missing today? Something else. There's great support for Torah, great learning for Torah. But I think the Malach touched on something else. Be'ikvise de Mashiach. The Yerech of the person is a place, shall I say, the mokim of Hergeshim. in physical sense of the word, Yerech is a mokim of hergeshim of a person. It's negeh what comes down from the moyach. Derech hayerech gidanoshe, that's a mokim fin hergesh, where a person has hergeshim, physical hergeshim. You know what he touched upon? He touched upon the regis of kedusha in Klal Yisrael. It's going to reach a point. There might even be Torah and other things. We're going to lose our feelings for a regis for this kedushim tiyu attitude. The kedushim tiyu is going to be faltered, touched on. It's going to cause epigam in the kedushim tiyu, in the preconditions for Torah. What the Rebbe wants us to be able to be mekabel Torah. Into what goof is the Torah going into? Vize tois dein domon, dein bosser. What are your living standards? Are you Torah dick? Otherwise the Torah that I said before is going to slide off. It'll never go into you. The more madanim you put in, the more you give yourself, you permit yourself to do acts which should be goivel with the Indian of novel b'shusa Torah rachmon etzlam. That's what he's trying to work on the Yetzer Hara. And that's the Yerech that he touched upon. The regis of Kedusha should get lost. I shouldn't feel bad about it if sometimes I was poigim in Kedusha. Rachmon and Islam. This is terrible. This is the ikvus of the Mashiach we're living in today. Due to the exposure that we have, our youth and even elderly people, and what's causing havoc very often, this influence from the outside of losing all our geshim, feelings and emotion for Dvorim Shebikdusha. What Klal Yisrael really is all about is Kedoshim Tiyu. This we've lost to a certain extent. And the Tachlis Adova is, in these days now that we're preparing ourselves for Matan Torah, it's not only preparing ourselves to learn another Daf Gemara, which is also important, from one Daf, learn two Daf, whatever, to increase in your Limud HaTorah, and to increase your support for Torah. Everybody has his Kabbalahs. But the Rebbe Yisrael wants something else. He wants you to prepare yourself in the right way, that you should be those who are holy and fit to be a suitable to be mekabel the Torah Kedusha. It's a holy thing, the Torah. It's mepi Hashem. And he only gave it to the Rebbe Yisrael, and he was bocha abonim mikol ha'amim, because he felt we're capable of it. This is the derech of us, and only those people who really prepared themselves in this way were zoiche that the Torah Kedusha was nivla bedomam. The Rebbe Yisrael should help us, we should be zoiche to utilize these days of the Sfira Soima in preparation for Torah, in solche sein der Kabbalas Torah mit es.